Just going to take a quick break from the show, everybody, to tell you a little bit more about one of my favorite things in the world, Audible. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love, or there's new stuff to discover all the time in Audible. Incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers to new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business. They got it all here in Audible, and you can have it all too. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, including Small Town Murder, Crime and Sports, and Your Stupid Opinions, with highly anticipated new releases and next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener. And you can keep your heart rate up month after month with this pulse-pounding collection you can't hear anywhere else. The true crime stuff they have is amazing. Right now, what I'm listening to is The Family by Ed Sanders, and it is a full, complete retrospective on the Manson family, kind of all of what they were doing to set their weird stuff up. It is amazing and incredibly detailed. Great stuff, and there's so much more on there. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including bestsellers, new releases, latest stuff. You got it. It's all there. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500. That's audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500.
Now back to the show.
Small Town Murder fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite Small Town Murder episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free, and you'll always be the first to catch our latest episodes, so you can brag to your friends. But that's not all. You can listen to your other favorite shows like Morbid, Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries, and Dr. Death ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Pardon My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means. Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening to Small Town Murder ad-free, go to amazon.com/smalltownmurder. That's amazon.com/smalltownmurder or download the Amazon Music app for free. It's just that easy.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, and welcome to Small Town Murder Express.
Yay, and choo-choo.
Oh, yay indeed, Jimmy. Yay indeed. All aboard the murder train, everyone. Yeah. My name is James Petragallo. I'm here with my co-host.
I am Jimmy Wissman.
Thank you, folks, so much for joining us today. We have a wild, wild episode for you. Very quickly off the top here before we get started. Thank you for everything. ShutUpAndGiveMeMurder.com is where you get all of your tickets. San Francisco in August. Come, we're at Cobb's Comedy Club. I think it's
so great.
August 12th, 13th? I want to say.
12th,
13th
yes,
of Sacramento. Yeah. And then also September 10th at the Pabst in Milwaukee. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's sell out the Pabst. We're on a mission, everybody. This will be our biggest show ever if you guys do this. Yeah. So beat Chicago, beat Minneapolis, and be the biggest show we've ever had, everybody. Let's do this. We can't wait. So get your tickets there. ShutUpAndGiveMeMurder.com. Patreon.com/crimeandsports is where you get all of the bonus stuff.
Yeah.
You get access to everything. Anybody $5 or above, you're going to get access to the Crime and Sports bonus, the Small Town Murder bonus. Uh-huh. You're going to get 4 episodes a month at least.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good stuff. Here
Sometimes six.
This week, what you're going to get is, for Crime and Sports, we're going to talk about John Rocker, who is just one of the most hateable people ever. He's just, his whole life is just being a complete jackass, and we're going to talk about him. There's
almost on purpose.
Oh my god, that's what it feels like. So we'll talk all about him. It's just a wild guy. And then for Small Town Murder, we are going to talk about a case that I've gotten sent to me repeatedly since the first week we did the show. It's the most wanted case ever. And other people have covered it, but like we do, we'll do it a little bit differently. It's in Skidmore, Missouri, and it's a case of a guy that everyone hated in the whole town. He's murdered in the town in front of dozens of witnesses. And no one will say a thing because they all hate him so much. And these are like upstanding people. He didn't get, this isn't a Gambino family barbecue or anything like that. Like, I don't know what happened to the guy. Just, I looked this way. He was on the ground. That's not what happened. It was in the bedroom. I don't know what you mean. That's not what happened. This is crazy. It's a wild story. We'll talk about all of that. Patreon.com/crimeandsports. And of course, you'll get a shout out on the end of the regular show.
Oh, yeah.
Where Jimmy will mispronounce your name terribly. So let's do this. I'd say, let's sit back, Jimmy. Clear the lungs. What do you say? Wherever you are, in your car, in your kitchen, hopefully not in too public of a place to scare people, but sit back, clear the lungs, and shout,
Shut up and give me murder.
Let's do this, Jimmy.
What? Take a ride.
Let's go on a trip, shall we? All right. Mm-hmm. We are going all the way up to the severe Northeast, as I like to call it here, and we are going to Vermont. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Vermont's a weird place. We've talked about
Fuck, is it beautiful.
It's a gorgeous place, but it
unbelievable.
Is weird. It's a it's a very, very strange, odd. If you can picture, if a take a hillbilly and then make him a hippie, and then soak him in maple syrup, and you have a Vermont resident. It's a very, especially the very northern parts of Vermont. It's a different kind of place up there.
Put some flip-flops on that hillbilly.
Yeah, put some Birkenstocks on your hillbilly.
Ones, yeah,
that's how it works. And have that hillbilly selling art for some reason. Yeah. Like, what's going
with
on?
Nice teeth.
This is Brownington, Vermont. It is north, north, north Vermont, up near the Canadian border up there, way up there. So this is out there. Population 955 people in this little town. Median income and home prices are pretty normal. They kind of go together. It's median income is about $43,000 a year, which is lower than the national average. But median home cost is only $165,000. So,
is it?
Yeah.
My God,
it's
is
cheap.
That affordable up there?
Up there? It's. I guess if you're making 42, I guess you can afford a $164,000 house. It seems about.
I suppose. Yeah.
About right. It's not like the houses were. You know, the rest of the country's. Cost it'd be way worse. So history, not a lot of this town. It was named after the Brown family. Well, there you go. Two of these people were Daniel and Timothy Brown. There was a bunch of other Browns there. There's like eight people named Brown, so they named the town Brownington. That's that. That's the history of the town. There's not a lot going on. Review of this town. This is fun here. One review of the town, and it's a good one. Two stars. I grew up in this town. And it was awesome. Just awesome. I will always be grateful for the fun and exciting childhood I had.
Oh.
Okay, that's the positive. All right, now.
But.
And the next sentence starts, but.
Yeah.
But around the age of 14, you will start to realize how terrible the town is. People have no motivation to take care of themselves or their property. Every other house has junk in the front yard, scrap cars, broken equipment, and literal garbage.
Yeah, as a kid, that's a fucking playground.
Yeah, you don't care. Yeah, it's a drunk car you can, like, shoot BBs at. Sounds awesome.
You slide across the hood and nobody gives a
Duke
shit?
Duke boys, bitches, Slide across the hood. Let's see. The roads are awful. Don't bother buying a new car if you live here because it won't last a year. Jesus.
A year?
A year? A new car just breaking into pieces?
How bad are you? That's amazing.
Well, my new car, the wheel fell off. It was new, and fell off.
When your roads can erode a brand new car
in a year. Worse than Michigan, they should have said. Makes Michigan roads look great. There's Amish families in town now, which is interesting, but they are good neighbors and possibly the best part of the town. They don't leave junk cars out in their yard. You know that much for a fact. So, or
when
equipment.
When their car's dead, they shoot it.
They
and
shoot it,
bury
it, it, probably, I assume. I don't know.
Hopefully it's made offspring by then.
We don't know. Oh, my God. I sincerely hope anyone living in this town has an opportunity to visit another country or state at least. Wow. Don't die here. That way they can see how far back in time the town is. Okay.
Unreal.
The town is stuck in the 60s, and if you think that's a good thing, then you are a moron.
They're not done?
I'm telling you, hippie hillbillies, it's the weirdest yeah. place. If you insist on living in Vermont. If you insist on living in Vermont. I insist. That's hilarious. If you insist on living in Vermont, there are other towns just as desolate with similar cost of living that are not this backwards. Try any other town.
Just as desolate.
Just as desolate, similarly cheap. Not as backwards. Wow.
That Are they person, done yet?
That's it. That's the review.
Jesus
Christ. Two stars.
That's the longest two-star review I've ever heard.
And for two stars, I guess they got the two stars for the up to age 14, for the good childhood. And then after that, yeah. that's the rest of their life. You know, it's broken down into fifths. 7 years. This person's 35 years old, I guarantee you.
Slide across any hood, no matter what's in your pocket.
Doesn't matter.
And that's the only good thing here.
It's the only good thing. You can't damage any of the cars. Things to do quickly. Not a lot. The Old Stone House Museum and Historic Village. Okay. It opened in 1925. It's a featured stop on Vermont's African American Heritage Trail. The museum tells the story of Alexander Lucius Twilight. He was the first African American college graduate and state legislator in the United States, and he built the Old Stone House. So awesome. There you go. So that's what they do. There's 30 rooms in this museum and 75,000 objects, furnitures and paintings. It's cool. It's from back then. There's a, yeah. there is a, I don't know what this is here, but there is a, it says always popular phantom baby portrait on the top floor.
I don't like that.
Couldn't find anything on it. Allison couldn't find anything on it. We don't know. Don't understand there. Then there is the Alexander Twilight Day Apple and Cheese Festival.
Awesome.
So this guy went through God knows what to be the first black dude to fucking graduate from college and be, what was it, legislature?
Yeah.
Be in the legislature, and they're like, let's celebrate him with apples and cheese. It's a very strange way to do it.
But they do, I mean, Vermont cheddar, and there's a lot of apples grown up there. So I guess it's just local heritage stuff. Well, that's what it is.
Apparently this is the first year that they've come together. The Alexander Twilight Day and the Apple and Cheese Festival have joined forces together. So this is good. We were just talking about how...
Double the odds.
Yeah, let's do it. You gotta double them up.
Synergy,
there.
Babe.
Synergy, yeah. We'll mix these together. You eat some cheese, you think about
that's
this
smart.
Guy, you look at some pictures. This is good.
Last week you wanted all three of those other festivals together. This week they actually did it.
They did it. That's what I mean. We said that, yeah, the ribs and beer and cheese should all go together.
Yeah.
This apples, cheese, for some
reason.
They
took your advice, goddammit.
Somebody did. Good. You know what? Thank you, Vermont. Finally, somebody's listening.
Slam all the Vermont in one day. It's great.
We say so much, and people just don't act. So
nobody takes our advice. They all take us for boneheads.
That's right. That said, let's talk about a murder and a goddamn weird one at that. Let's get into this, Jimmy. Okay. We'll go back to 2009 for this murder, so not very far.
No,
this is
James. This is ballsy,
this
sir.
Is, oh yeah, we're texting. We're you know, people. There's social media. People are on Facebook. This is
fuck yeah.
Post Facebook, pre Instagram is where we are right now. So anyway, 2009. Talk about two people first here. This is Charlie and Christine Billis. Okay, Billis. Charles is his name. He's 57. Christine is 42, and they Charlie is legally blind.
Oh,
he's
shit.
Not like, you know, blind, like can't see anything, but he's legally blind.
He just
in
has
terms
the
of
thickest glasses on earth.
He doesn't wear glasses, actually, from
no?
what I saw. Not in
what
the
fuck?
Things that I saw. He's got he walks with a cane. He's clearly got some movement issues, that sort of deal. But I mean, he gets like disability and he can't drive. He's legally blind like that. So they also have daughters here. Christine has three daughters. There's a grown daughter who isn't living at home, and then a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old who are in the house.
There's six? That's the three. Got
that's
it.
Three,
okay.
yeah. So, yeah, those are then there's another three. That's what you heard. I said there's three, described them, and you were like, three more?
Three plus three is six.
So in 2004, Charlie and Chrissy, as she likes to be called, they moved from Boston, that's where they were living,
yeah,
up to northern, you know, bumfuck Vermont out here. Yeah. So they that's with their daughter. That's the youngest that's theirs together. And then her daughter from a previous marriage, who's the 14-year-old.
Okay.
So they had a good sense of humor, and you can tell this with each other because, as we'll talk about, they did public access TV shows.
What?
So you can see their dynamic together, and even later on.
It?
Yeah, yeah. And then later on, he does a show with somebody else, and she's the one filming it. She's the camera operator, and you can, like, hear her laughing when he makes jokes and stuff, so...
So they like each other.
Well, that's what it would seem like. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And so Charlie, I guess he had impaired vision since he was a child, and it's just gotten worse. So he's always had an eye problem. So Chrissy helps him out a lot. She has to drive him places and shit like that. Yeah. He used to be a used car salesman.
Oh.
And he's got that kind of – he's got a quick sense of humor. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, not – he's like, you know – like dad joke.
A quick joke.
Dad joke funny, but still, like, you know, for an older guy, he's quippy.
Awesome. Yeah.
You can
he's fun.
Yeah, he's good with people. He's very good with people. Yeah. He can make friends with somebody very quickly. And Chrissy would take care of the home and take care of the family. They don't have a lot of money at all here by now. Money, he's not working as a used car salesman anymore. And money is very, very tight. So they move in 2004 when they get here. Charlie starts making a public access TV show about 6 months after moving up here.
About what?
To introduce. Hi, I'm new here. Where's everybody?
I have a lot of money, so I'm going to spend what I have on putting together a fucking show.
Where would one go for a good chicken tender? Anybody? Just you can email the show and let us know if where's a good chicken tender. So after a little while, Chrissy joins him on the show. Okay? This is 2005. The show is called Open Forum. And it's basically them in, like, living room chairs. They're talking, and on the show, they would interview, quote, anyone they found interesting.
You're saying it's a show about nothing?
It's a show about nothing, but they just bring on other people who nobody gives a shit about because they're willing to do public access interviews, which means they don't have a lot going on. And they talk to them about shit. It's just like,
about nothing.
Here's a bunch of people no one wants to hear from, and there's a channel it's on. Just, there you go. Like, you just put a camera in some people who you don't care about's living room.
Nobody's looking for this, but here it is.
That's exactly it. Nobody wants this. No one certainly asked for it, but here it is. We gave it to
We're
you.
We're giving it anyway.
The show ran 5 years. They were doing this show. She was the editor of the show. She didn't like the whole, like, on-screen thing as much as he did. He's a ham, and he likes to be on camera. She's more, doesn't really want to be on camera. But she did it with him on Open Forum anyway. Didn't do it with him on the show, but you know what I mean.
did the show.
The show was about these two people fucking, right? And then when they was done, they'd be smoking a cigarette, and they'd invite somebody on. It was a little awkward because they were nude on the floor, and they'd, like, be in a chair between them. It was kind of weird, but, you know, they did it anyway. It was fun. So they did all of this. This was basically this is a good way for them to have something to do, get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Charlie is, he's like one of these kind of, like, it reminds me of, like, one of these stand-up comics that we know where you look at them and you go, Jesus, that's terrible. And then they're like, you know, I'm gonna make it. And they're like they're dead serious of, like, you know, I mean, I think I can, I'm gonna get on a I'm going to do it, really. I'm going to record a YouTube thing, and I think that's going to get me to where I want to be. And you're like, no, you're not good, though. That's the first part you missed. That's what Charlie reminds me of, because he thinks that he wants to take this show eventually to regular TV. He's going to be able to sell.
He wants to be on the network.
He's going
to
sell this show of a 50-something-year-old man sitting there talking to people on a fucking chair. Basically, like, instead of a talk show, it'll be me. And that'll be the show, rather than having
just
talented people
stuff.
Do it.
Here I am.
Yeah. So Chrissy just thought it was a hobby. She thought it was fun.
I think they got a better chance of selling this to anybody if it's actually them fucking in front of people.
Someone will watch that, at least.
Open
I don't
for
know.
For them, you know, EM with apostrophe, open well, forum.
Or open forum. Anyone can come join in if they want. Open forum. Here's our winner this week, and they just come in and start humping on whatever they want. I don't know how it works. We don't know. That's a show. Now, that's a show.
Yeah.
I'd be intrigued. Who's coming on this week? That's intriguing. That's something. That's a show. So But after a while, they're working on the show. They're spending a lot of time on the show. They're not making money on this show, but this
They're spending it.
They're spending it. Yeah, this is exactly like we were talking about comics that. After a while, you're with the audience, and you're like, you have something in common with the audience, and that's comedy's costing both of you money. That's what that is.
Comics that look down on the audience like they're worse than them.
Yeah. So it's costing both of you money, dude.
Yeah, you're both paying to do this.
Jesus Christ. So he spent a ton of time working on the show, and then she would have to edit the episodes and then also have to run the house and take care of the kids and do all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
She wanted Charlie to focus more on making some money. Hey, you're in your 50s. We have a kid. You know, we're raising two children here. Let's make money. What are we talking about? This public access. This isn't working.
Yeah. There's already a show about nothing, and the guy's a billionaire. So I think that market's tapped out.
And he said, no, this is the thing. I feel it in my bones. I'm going to focus my energy on this TV show. We'll live off my disability checks. So,
oh, man.
That's a tough way to go. That is a tough,
sure is.
A tough road. 4 days a week, he was doing open forum. They'd go interview people in different places and shit like that. Sometimes he'd leave Chrissy at home, and you know, it was tough. Her daughter, the 14-year-old, said money was tight, and that was always kind of a stressor.
So, Charlie's betting on Charlie.
Charlie is betting on Charlie. So 2009 comes around, and Chrissy is diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Oh fuck!
Yeah, that's now it's serious. Now it's okay. We got to focus on.
We got way bigger expenditures than open forum.
Yeah,
we got to trim things.
Crazy. She has to undergo a full hysterectomy, but then she's. I guess the cancer is okay after that. They get all the cancer, I suppose. Here, she decided to quit smoking at this point too, which is probably smart if you have another kind of cancer. And she went on some drug to stop smoking. One of those. There's a bunch of those. I don't know what
Chantix
it is.
Chantix or some shit.
One of those. Yeah. But I guess she couldn't sleep, which is always one of the side effects.
Probably
of
Wellbutrin
drugs.
Yep.
And Charlie, while all this is going on, he's taking on more shit. Public access wise, he's making more commitments to himself. There's a guy named Steve Merrill who's going to start a new show. And he said, well, I'd love to be your co-host. And magic was born, Jimmy. This show,
Gangbusters.
There's the one episode we'll talk about's on YouTube, and the whole episode, it's an hour long, and it is fantastic. I recommend watching the entire thing. It's called It's News to Us. And if you look up Charlie Billis, It's News to Us, you'll find it on YouTube, and it's amazing.
I can't wait.
Incredible. September 2009, it premieres, and this is NEK TV in Northern Vermont. That's the public.
Neck
TV. Nectiv. Nectiv. Almost, though.
Oh, there's a V?
V. TV.
Oh.
NEK TV.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
All right.
NEK is the station.
Naked TV.
Naked TV. We're naked in the woods up here. So they had a show on there, and the purpose of the show was to focus on stories that don't make the national news. And it's called It's News to Us is the name of the show that Charlie and the Steve Merrill do. And it's taped in a studio in Newport, Vermont. It's got a green screen behind them. Okay, that's fantastic. The great part. It's got a green screen. Now, the episode on YouTube, it is their second episode. So I don't know if the guy doesn't realize that you can't wear certain colors when you're sitting in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
Because I'll set the scene, okay? Fucking stage left is Charlie, okay? He's on our right, stage left. He is sitting there. He's in the chair with a table in front of him, and he's got his hand on the cane off to the side, like he's about to make a run for it, which is a strange thing. Then Steve, the guy who's like the main host here, he is wearing a shirt that makes him completely disappear. So
he's wearing a green shirt.
There's behind them is the whole screen behind them is close ups of bees in a hive doing things. So the bees are bigger than them on the screen, right? They're these giant bees. So he is just a head with hands, right? This man, he's a floating head, and then he's got two floating hands that like hold up a newspaper. And every once in a while, the bees will crawl into the perfect spot to where his head looks like it's on a bee's body, and it's phenomenal. It's the greatest thing ever. It's so fucking funny. And
he has no idea this is happening.
I don't think he does, because it's only the second episode. So I think he just doesn't realize it that it's going on. So anyway, on the show, they basically have a local newspaper. And they're just it's two older guys sitting in a coffee shop gossiping about what's going around in the town, and someone decided to film this. And
wow,
the videographer or the camera operator is Christine. She's the one filming everything, Chrissy. So this, I can't recommend this show enough to you. At one point, at one point they're talking about a guy who like attacked a robber with a samurai sword. Or some shit like that. And so Charlie jumps in and he goes, well, I mean, you gotta admire the guy. I mean, he's going old. I like that. It's none of this, shooting at people. He's got a sword. And he's like, I'll show you something. I'll chop him up like a fillet. That's all. And he's making these, like, samurai sword jokes. And they're all, I don't know, they're not funny, but they're like these dark jokes that are, whatever. I admire where he's going. I like it.
He's exploring.
And you hear Christine laughing behind. You hear a woman's laugh behind the camera. And trust me, she's probably, I assume, the only woman within 5 miles of this fucking project. So it's got to be her. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of chicks hanging around waiting to get a glimpse of these two, if you know what I'm saying.
Are we not going to watch this?
We're not going to watch it. No, we can't watch it. But we don't have time to watch it. But other people out there will
watch it.
Oh, you'll definitely watch it when we're done. Everyone out there should watch this. Absolutely. It's fucking crazy, man. So all of this is going on. I guess they said that she was the producer, the editor, the camera operator. She was the all the behind the camera stuff. Now, the camera, by the way, operates. It's just a steady static camera. You set it up and you walk away. It's not like she has to fucking...
One-woman production team.
Yeah, one-woman production team. Steve said, quote, it was fun to be able to play intellectual handball with someone like that. Charlie had a very twisted sense of humor and had done a lot of strange things, so it was just a riot. Okay. So, meanwhile, the bills are stacking up. There's medical bills and all this shit. There's a lot going on. And Chrissy didn't think that Charlie was taking it too seriously. Her daughter said, quote, my parents did have a pretty stressful relationship with each other. And I think it was just a lot of mom being overwhelmed by everything that was happening to her. Okay. Which, I mean, if you have cancer and you have to get half of your insides ripped out because of it,
that's intense. Man.
That's a lot. That's a lot to deal with, man. That really is. Charlie, though, kept making the shows, wanted to make the shows, but she was going to, if they were going to do it, she was going to do it with him. At least they would be together, because otherwise he's gone the whole time. She's at home. It's boring. So she said maybe that'll reignite the whole deal here. So in 2009, September 22nd, that's the episode we're talking about. That's the one she's behind the camera for the second episode of It's News to Me.
Yeah.
Steve Merrill said, that day while taping the show, nothing seemed out of the ordinary to me. We were getting together. We were getting laughter from Charlie's wife, Chrissy. It was a good day. We were having fun. So that's their audience. So if she's laughing, they feel like they're killing.
It's awesome.
They're doing great. You know what I mean?
Them.
So Chrissy would drive Charlie the 30 minutes to and from the studio there. Their house is in Brownington. That's where they live. And 3:30 that day, they do the show. Like we said, it's a terrible disaster, and it's hilarious. Wonderful. It's everything that public access should be, like technically inept, not very poorly planned, people thinking too much of their own opinions. It's everything that you want out of public access. So they're driving home, just normal deal. Then out of nowhere, they head first slam into a giant pine tree.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Pow. I mean, all out of nowhere. Just boom. Into a pine tree. Chrissy has her seatbelt on. She's dazed and has minor injuries, but she's okay.
She was driving, obviously.
She's the one driving. Yeah, Charlie's legally blind. If Charlie was driving, this would be understandable.
It makes much more sense.
That would make a lot of sense. that I would get. It's like, I thought it was the road. Charlie, on the other hand, is not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, no.
When they hit this tree. His legs are crushed in the car. They need the jaws of life to get him out. He is trapped in the car, whereas she can get out of the car. Christy's pulled out of the car by onlookers. She's like, okay, she can walk around. She's, you know, dazed, obviously. Charlie, though, is just, he's crushed in there. He's freed by the emergency responders with the jaws of life. They're both taken to the ER. Chrissy is cleared of medical. She's okay. But once they find out Chrissy's okay, they also find out they're told that Charlie died.
Oh, no.
Charlie died. Yeah. He apparently there was a tear in his aorta from the impact of something. And it killed him. So
internal injuries like that. Wow. Yeah, that's a hard impact.
That's a huge. Yeah. I mean, it's a fucking head on into a tree with no skid marks, nothing. I mean, it was like it, you know, like the tree was the road. It was insane. Their daughter said it was really overwhelming just to hear that, you know, your dad didn't make it. And it was so probably the biggest heartbreak of my life, I'd have to say, for sure. Yeah, Jesus, that's understandable. Poor girl. So the Vermont State Police arrived to investigate. There's a fatal car crash, so they always investigate. There's nothing on the road that would have made her swerve. There's not
debris
like
or anything.
No debris. There wasn't a cow there or anything. There's no skid marks even. It's the only tree along that stretch of road in over a mile in either direction.
In northern fucking Vermont? That's amazing.
On that stretch of road, that on the side of the road, there is one tree for a mile in either direction, and that's the tree that they hit. So they do the initial deal. They figure out that she's traveling south on Vermont Route 5A when it hit the large pine tree near the intersection of Line Farm Road. It occurred during the day, completely clear, blue skies, dry road, no cow. Doesn't make any sense. Speed is not a factor going around the speed limit. They said maybe their only thought is maybe Chrissy had some sort of medical, you know, episode while it happened. Some sort of blackout, something with medication from this, something with her illness.
Seizure, anything.
It's the only thing they could think of. Like, maybe she blacked out, whatever. Now, the Pamela Helenick this happened in her front yard. She says, quote, "I went over to get the mail because you usually do." There you go. We don't need an explanation of why you went to get the mail. I went to get the mail.
Well, that's suspicious. Why'd you do that?
What are you getting the mail for? Old lady, what do you got there? What do you got to hide, Pamela Helenick? I don't believe you. Because you usually do.
As you do.
I ate dinner that night, as I'm wont to do from occasion to occasion. It's fine.
Survive.
We got
it.
You know, to be able to have my functions of my body work and all my major organs keep from shutting down. Things like that. She said, "I went and looked at the hole again and thought about how that poor man died. It sounded like dynamite going off." Yeah, a car at full speed hitting a fucking pine tree head on. It's going to be loud. She said that they were sitting down for dinner when they heard the crash. She said, "I had no idea what happened, but when I looked toward the window, you could see dust everywhere. That's when we came out and saw the car over there." And then those are the people that pulled Christine out of the fucking rubble here. So this show, Small Town Murder, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
BetterHelp.com.
Absolutely. And maybe your social battery. Where are you monitoring that right now? You drained down? Too much socializing from holidays? Not enough? Maybe some people hole up in the winter?
Sure.
And therapy is the thing. Therapy can help give you some self-awareness so you can build a social life that's not going to drain you or leave you wanting more here. So we totally are 100% advocates of therapy here. It's great for you. There's a million things it can help you with, and this is one of them, because social stuff is something that it's really hard not to struggle with nowadays, especially even social media mixed in the mix. It's difficult. It really is.
Overwhelming.
Therapy can help, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Yeah. We very much recommend it. Entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule. Mm-hmm. You fill out this brief questionnaire. They very quickly match you with a licensed therapist, and no additional charge. You can switch therapists at any time, which is a big deal, because that's sometimes you're not vibing with somebody and you need to vibe with somebody. No additional charge for that at all. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/smalltownmurder today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/smalltownmurder.
And now back to the show.
Hey, everybody, just going to take a quick break from the show to tell you a little bit about the safest sponsor that's ever been, Simply Safe.
Oh, SimplySafe.com. SimpliSafe.com.
Springtime's coming here. So you got the spring, you got fresh air, fresh starts, and you clean your house. That's all fresh. It's also the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe home security. Make sure your newly cleaned, nice house is secure. That's important.
Well protected, yeah.
It's the only security system that Jimmy and I will use, and we recommend it highly. Sure. We both have it on not only our studios, our houses, anything we have that needs protection. Simply Safe is the way to go. It's so easy to install that even we can do it. You guys will love it because you'll feel secure. You will not be small town murdered in your own home, is what it is, if you have Simply Safe, because they're going to protect you. They're trusted by experts. It was named the best home security systems for 2024 by U.S. News and World Report, and Newsweek awarded Simply Safe the best customer service in home security. Simply Safe has given us and our many listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. We want you to feel good. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/small. That's SimplySafe, SimpliSafe.com/small. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Now back to the show.
The next day, Christy is cleared from the hospital to go home. They wanted to keep her overnight for observations. She's questioned by a state trooper about the crash, as any other fatality accident would be. She told the officers that she wasn't, that she was on, yes, I'm on anti-smoking drugs. I'm also on antidepressants. Uh-huh. And the night before, I had to take sleeping pills to go to sleep because I'm on these smoking drugs. So, Jesus. You know, that's what might have been in my system. So they said maybe the combination of those three things with fatigue and this and that, maybe she blacked out for a minute, passed out and didn't realize it, you know, just nodded off or something. Christine, everybody, by the way, everybody loved Charlie in the community. He was not, he wasn't like, you know, we were making fun of his public access show because it's a public access show, but he's a real, he's a real nice guy, that personable dude that people like. I mean, period. Yeah. That's it. There's nothing else to say about it. His co-host, Steve, said, I miss him terribly. He was a great guy, a lot of fun, and really smart. But the show must go on. 8 days later, Steve replaced Charlie with a new co-host.
Wow.
8 days.
Steve.
If you died, what am I, next week? We're back again. Here's this guy instead. You're dead. I mean, what the fuck am I going to do? If I died, you're going to say, hey, welcome to Small Town Murder. I'm going to tell you a story
over,
now. It's like, that's crazy. You're dead. You're dead.
I might do the Express and just be like, I'll just read headlines of murder.
Well, that sounds gross, right? All right. Check it out.
Next one.
That could be good, though. I'd listen to that.
That's all I got. So, I'll do it with a green screen and I'll be the fucking head of a bee.
That's what we do. Head of a bee. You can superimpose me in there. I give you permission. Just put my picture in there.
I'll put your head on a bee.
There you go. Put my head on a bee sitting next to you. And look over to me for comment if you want once in
you
a while.
Anything, James? Nothing? All right.
Fucking guy. You know, call him the best color man in the business for nothing, folks. Give him the old major league line. They'd put you in a fucking institution in three episodes. I think this guy's losing his mind. So, I'd be sitting here. No, I'd be someone else. Imagine me sitting here with someone else. I'd be like...
8 days later.
How do you think that's not funny, you fucking idiot? That's hilarious what I just read to you. Laugh. Laugh, stupid. You have no comment on that? Jesus Christ.
Say something accidentally racist, you fucking jerk.
Come on.
You're giving me nothing.
Try to be nice, but be racist in the end by accident. That's what I want to hear. That's the good stuff. So he said that now Steve, though, said that he thought it was weird that Chrissy was really weird during this time, which also she's on different things and hormones from getting her, you know, every part inside of her ripped out. That's a lot. So, but he said, I found Chrissy's behavior at the funeral was just completely weird. You know, there wasn't even like a tear there. Okay. Then again, also, if you're on antidepressants, sometimes it's hard to get those emotions depending on your dosage and all that sort of thing. I've known people like that. So he also said, Steve Merrill, that he remembers a weird conversation that he had with Chrissy about a month before this all happened, the accident. He said, quote, I was telling Chrissy about a friend of mine. His wife had a car. The car was a lemon, and they drove the car into a tree to total it.
Huh.
Jesus, that's risky. Good what? God, you could hurt yourself if doing that. You really could. Like, that's not safe.
You could kill yourself.
Yeah, he said, quote, it wasn't insurance fraud. That is insurance fraud.
Yeah, it is.
It's the definition of insurance fraud. To intentionally
totaled this, not insurance fraud.
Not insurance fraud.
You know what I mean.
To purposely destroy something to collect a settlement is insurance fraud. That's literally what it is.
It was a lemon, you see, so that's not insurance
fraud. It's not insurance fraud. Well, I guess in his mind, if the car wasn't really in a tree, then it would be insurance fraud. But if you actually wrap it around a tree, then it's not, which is not how it works. Okay. But anyway, I could see the change come over her. It was like I could tell that she had been looking for a way to get Charlie out of her life.
Oh, my God.
He's accusing her. But, I mean, that's all there is this guy's weird comments. And he's a guy who reads from the newspaper on public access with fucking bees crawling over his, you know, superimposed image. So it looks crazy. So no one cares.
It's also a big leap because who's going to crash a car to kill somebody? You could hurt yourself.
It seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
So after 18 months go by, Chrissy decides that it's time to move on. And she's going to start dating again. It's been a year and a half. That's
not bad. Yeah.
That's a time. I mean, that's plenty of time. People are lonely, you know? So she's doing it, and she gets on OkCupid.
Yeah.
There you go. OkCupid. Before long, she finds a 98% match, baby.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a 98-year-old man.
A 98-year-old man. Hot, though. He's hot. He also has a public access TV show where he tries to get a boner for an hour and it doesn't work. Join us next week to see if I can get a boner again. No.
see if when I crush up and wet down this Viagra and shoot it straight into my cock, if that works.
Let's see if I snort it, if it works faster. We're going to try different Viagra intake methods every week here.
I cook it in a spoon.
Yeah, they're going to cook it in a spoon. I'm going to sprinkle it over my salad. We'll see which one works the fastest. So 98% match she finds.
That's solid.
Which seems solid. It's a guy.
Well, it depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, if you're lying also in your profile.
If you bullshit it, then that's not going to work.
So it's a man named Kevin Leland, L-E-L-A-N-D. And he just moved to the Vermont area, so he's new in town, and here he is. Yeah. And it's funny every time. Over the next 3 weeks, they got to know each other a little bit. And he said, quote, we had an instant message conversation, and that's when she mentioned she lost her husband in a car crash. I did feel horrible to think of losing a husband, losing a spouse that way. He said, I was attracted to her sense of humor. Also, she was a videographer, and she said she was interested in celibate Christian dating like me.
Oh, my God.
What's the point of that?
Right.
What's the point of that? That's like engaging in active, like on purpose bulimia. Like, I'm going to eat this dinner just to throw it up. But just to throw it up, because that's the good. Like, what are you talking about? So you're going to go out, spend time with this person, do all that, and have no.
Why would you pay for a membership to a website for that? Why don't you go wander around and talk to people?
Not dating is celibate dating. That's what that is. That's called not dating. Yeah. That's called friendship. Go make friends. That's celibate dating.
That's a waitress,
dating.
My friend.
Yeah. Or a friend. Just go find a friend, and there you go. You're celibately dating. That's every one of your friends, you're celibately dating them.
Jimmy, date the fuck out of you.
Yeah, we celibately date each other. We're going to go on a celibate honeymoon to go do a show. It happens.
We go on trips together
We go on trips all the time. So... instant messenger, that's how it's working. Attracted to her sense of humor. So he liked her, so they started chatting a little bit. They're a few hours the first night. Hours,
really?
They're going. Night number one. Finally, they get onto the phone, talking on the phone after that. And their second phone call, though, I'll let Kevin say what happened on the second phone call.
Oh, boy.
Quote, we'd been talking and everything was going well, but I wanted to make sure I really knew her. I wanted to know about any downside. He's looking for the bad. This is what people do when things are going well, too.
Right. sabotage.
How do I destroy this? But also, if it's someone that you meet like in an online situation, I feel like you should do this because
absolutely,
it's very easy to glorify this whole thing in your brain
when you haven't met together. So he said that he admitted that he could be violent at times. He would get into fights out in like bars when provoked. So he said
he told her that?
He told her that. He goes, that's kind of my downside, you know, like that's.
I'm violent as fuck. I'm looking for Christian celibate dating, but I'm violent.
Super violent. I like to I like to put my energy into violence rather than sex. It's what I like to do.
Maybe get laid, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Same thought.
You won't have that fucking anger. And you'll be the coolest dude in the bar.
That's it. You'll be great. You'll be feeling A-OK, sir. You won't want to fight anybody. Yeah,
you're 2 tablespoons heavy, that's all.
Knowing you're certainly not getting laid that night might cause violence. I don't know. So he says, we'd been talking, everything was going well. I want to make sure I know her. He could be violent at times. Christine, he says, revealed that she had a similar violent streak. And eventually the conversation turned to the topic of her husband's death, as all do.
As it does, yeah.
And, quote, she told me, I did it. I did it on purpose.
Oh, my God.
He said that he was okay. Interesting. And he says,
well, that's the answer to sometimes I punch people in bars. Yeah, well, I murdered my husband.
Hey, let's go. Yeah, I got a package at the door. I got a sign for it. My grandmother's here. I got to go by. Like, you start making up crazy excuses. My Jell-O's burning.
Phone call number two?
My Jell-O's burning. I have to leave.
Phone call number two.
This is phone call number two. Yeah, this is.
Wow.
He said, quote, she was sobbing and it just came out between cries. She was telling him. And this is how he puts it, by the way. This is his. He wrote a blog later about this whole thing, and his blog is ridiculous. It's funny as shit. So he says, quote, I met Chrissy on OkCupid.com, an online dating site where I've kept a profile for over a year. We were somehow a 98% match. Chrissy called me her twin brother from another mother. I think the matchmaker robot just perceived that I am a sucker for ruthless women. It must have obtained data regarding my ex-wives.
Yikes.
Chrissy and I never had a sexual relationship. I have been discerning a vocation in the Catholic Church and have been on a 2-year test drive with the celibacy thing before I commit long term. I'd trust this guy zero also.
Zero.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Plus, not to sound judgmental, but between the filthiness, the promiscuity, the hard drugs, the neglect of her children, the smoking and the murdering, I found the woman is about attractive as a bucket full of wriggling peckers. Oh my God. What the fuck is happening? Wriggling are these dismembered penises? Is he talking about? Has he seen a bucket of dismembered, but freshly dismembered, so they're still moving like a chicken?
Is that
body?
What they do? They like a lizard's tail.
They have
is
their own. They have their own muscle memories. They're going in his past
to distract the predator and let me get away.
They start trying to crawl away to a hole to protect themselves. I believe that's how it is. They're looking for a cave or something to climb.
Wriggling,
wriggling. No, but not to sound judgmental was how he started that. That's the equivalent of an Italian guy going, I mean, no disrespect, but he's going to tell you, I mean, your mother's a whore and you're a piece of shit and this and that, but no disrespect. So,
not to be judgmental. But
not
this
to be
is the
judgmental.
Most,
sincerely, not to sound judgmental.
The most judgmental thing anybody's ever said, because I'm going to say two words together that you've never heard before.
No, never. And then put them in the terms of a bucket full of them. One would have been fine. A wriggling pecker. I'm sold. Right?
But a quantity of them that's going to blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, where'd you get that many wriggling peckers is one of my question is. One, you figure someone had a bad day. A bucket full. I'm going to start. I'm not leaving the house anymore. Not to sound judgmental, but she's filthy, promiscuous, does hard drugs, neglects her children, smokes, murders, and is attractive as a bucket of wriggling peckers. But not to sound judgmental. That's what this man just said. What in the fuck is going on?
Oh, wriggling peckers. And holy shit.
I feel like he likes attention, so he's going to listen to this, too. So that's the funny part, because he's still writing blog shit about this. So, hi, Kevin. That's quite the turn of a phrase you got there, sir.
Hi, Kevin.
Quite the turn of phrase, my friend. I mean, we're laughing. It's not. Wow. A bucket of wriggling. Wriggling is the key that makes it, really.
It's really fantastic. And not it, even just dicks, not penises.
No.
Packers. Fucking Packers. No,
it's a nice word salad. Not like word salad in a bad way. It's like tomato and mozzarella. It goes together, these two. Wriggling Packers and tomatoes and mozzarella, I feel like.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It's amazing.
He said once she told him, they prayed over the phone together.
Okay.
I don't know. What? Bring him back from the dead? I don't know what you're praying for at this point, but...
You're going to pray? So you're going to close your eyes? Now every time I close my eyes, all I see is a bucket of wriggling peckers.
That's all I see. I see it in my head every time we say it, too. Wriggling peckers, and I just see it. I see him going. So after this, rather than, at this point, you'd be like, nice, yeah, this is great. You're never talking to this person again, right?
Yeah, it's over.
They made plans to meet in person.
No, he's got to see what
I don't know what it is.
Like.
Yeah. I just got to see. He says, the first time we hung out, I drove to her house, which was about an hour or two from my place. We took a walk, and she brought me to the scene of the wreck. I don't want to be at the... Well, if you go out with a murderer, and she takes you to the scene of the murder, or he takes you to the scene of the murder, you should be frightened. This is the difference between, imagine if you were a woman being taken to a man, he's like, this is where I killed my wife. You'd be like, he's going to strangle me, you know?
But this guy invested 2 hours of his day to get there.
He drove all the way
here. He wanted to see this shit.
We took a walk. It's strange, but she was kind of proud of it.
Yeah.
She says, she told me that her husband had been abusive, and I thought if he was beating her up, maybe her actions were justified. I didn't call the police right away because I wanted to meet her.
I've never seen a murderer.
I mean, yes, she's a murderer, but I mean, you know, wow. He says that he was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt about being, you know, the domestic violence. He said, I was still checking things out. I thought maybe she wanted to come clean and I could help her.
Yeah.
Okay. So he started asking more questions about the abuse, but he said from what she revealed, in his opinion, it wasn't anything severe enough to justify murder. It wasn't like he was her life wasn't in danger. He said, quote, she said things like, oh, he'd yell at me to clean the house. But in reality, she was a hoarder, so I could understand if he wanted her to clean.
Yeah.
As we'll talk, he's got a whole thing about it there. So, and we're not saying, you know what we're saying. Whatever. You get it. This situation, he's saying, isn't warranting that. So now, once they met up, they're walking in the farmlands, and he says, quote, she wasn't in such an upbeat mood, and I asked her what was wrong, and she said the accident. We had walked down Route 5, the same road the accident occurred on, and we went right around the tree that she hit. She was explaining the details of the accident, and it felt kind of weird. He then said, even though as much as I didn't want to hear the gory details, I want to know about her marriage stuff. She also told him that he was abusive to the children as well.
Oh, shit.
He said, I was devastated hearing this, you know, my breath stopped. And she talked about feeling guilty about the accident. And I said, of course, you know, you're going to feel guilty. It's natural, but it wasn't your fault. She was, no, you don't understand. No, I did it on purpose. I killed him on purpose. So that's how that went. Now, he said that he decided at that point to try to get further proof before he went to the cops, because now he's decided that he's going to go to the cops, being that she's attractive as wriggling peckers and all. If he wanted to fuck her, he wouldn't be going to the cops. That's the thing. He'd kill, like, another ex-husband of hers for her.
Right. He drove 2 hours to see how hot she is, and if crazy and hot add up and she fucks good, I'm going to cancel the celibate shit and take a chance with this.
Because his pecker's wriggling. That's the difference.
You betcha.
Yeah. He said, I didn't expect to be believed just telling my story without any kind of backup evidence. I decided I was going to put a digital recorder in my pocket, set up another meeting with her, and get her to confess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Donnie Brasco, let's see what you got here.
Take it easy, big pussy.
All right. He goes to the police the next day. He does it, and he gets it on recording, and he goes to the police. The recording says, she says, quote, I killed him, but I love that man very much. But I wasn't about to let anyone kill me. yeah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. You can't just go kill somebody and be like, okay, whatever. I don't care what they say in the movies. That's what she's on her quote. That's not great.
No, but the first part you can wash with, I killed him, because, I mean, anybody could be behind the wheel of a car.
Exactly.
In an accident.
And feel
but
guilty.
But that second sentence is the one that fucks her.
That's not great.
Wasn't easy.
It was my fault as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't easy, boy. I'll tell you what. The police said they didn't know if maybe she was just confessing to try to impress him, if there was some sort of weird relationship they had. So also the fact that it was done without her knowledge, this recording, in Vermont you can't do that, and then without any kind of warrant, so it's not admissible in court.
Right.
So they were like, you have to do, you know, something there. So he then says later on, he told in an interview, she threatened to kill me if I recorded her and turned her in.
Oh, my God.
There was one time she stood over me with a knife. Look at this hunting knife, a 13-inch blade. It was sketchy, and she had a lot of sketchy friends. Some of them are threatening me now. That's what he said on a news station.
Holy shit.
So he said that from what he gathered, it seemed like she was trying to collect insurance money about Charlie. One day, one day she said to me, I'd hate to have to drive you into a tree. So anyway, he ended up, I guess, doing like a little undercover sting operation with the police and everything to get her being recorded here. So this is from his blog. Quote, I had a certain intuition, even when we first instant messaged, that she made herself a widow. Right away, he says that. So he talks about prayers and all this shit. Anyway, he said that more things. He said, I felt called in a mystical way to this family crisis, a story in itself for later. I made sure I put justice on the back burner and focused on love and mercy first and ensuring her kids were safe. He's just an angel here.
Yeah, what a hero.
I knew I had to convince her to turn herself in. I ran that by my friend Father Cyprian, and he agreed. I was working to that end when about 8 weeks after she confessed to me, we had a falling out. She was high on oxys that she had, and an accomplice stole from our sick friend who we had just helped move from Vermont to Connecticut. She stole $60 out of my wallet, and by the end of some other drama involving her accomplice, she threatened to kill me if I ever recorded her confessions and turned her in. So after that, after she said that, I put justice on the front burner and I recorded her conversation.
Now the beans are important to this meal.
Time to turn justice up to a simmer. Let's get justice on a hard boil, shall we, everyone?
Let's get it rolling.
Wow. So a detective went to her home to interview her. And they said, the police officer said, she was under the assumption that I was there to speak about the insurance claim because she was trying to cash in on his $100,000 insurance policy. Okay. As we were speaking about the insurance claim, I then kind of changed gears. He started to say things like, was there any way maybe you just had enough and snapped and drove into a tree? And he said at that point that Chrissy started trying to change the topic, which is a bad sign.
Uh-huh.
So then he outright asked her if she ever told anyone she intentionally crashed the car, and she said no. Now they know from the tape that that's a lie. I guess they started saying that they had proof from they know somebody, blah, blah, blah. So then she started to crack, and she said, can we go outside? So they went away from her daughters outside. She asked the cop if he could guarantee she would get visitation rights to her daughters. That's the question she asked. He's like, whoa, I was just poking around. He replied that he thought she was jumping the gun a bit, and it seemed that she was thinking she had done something for which she'd go to jail for, you know? Uh-huh. She replied, yeah, and then she said, I didn't exactly pass out at all at any point. We were driving home. He flipped out on me. When we got to the farm and I saw the tree, I knew it wasn't going to move when I hit it. And the crazy part is that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life was that tree coming at me. I thought we were both going to die. That was what I thought when it was going to happen. I could say I couldn't take it. I said I couldn't take it anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. And I say I certainly ain't going to leave with him with my kids.
Okay.
So she's going to kill them both. So she should have probably taken her seatbelt off then if she wanted. So that was the goal.
Murder-suicide is the game here, is
that's
what she's saying.
That's what she's saying. So Yeah, that's how that goes. So she said, then she started saying that he was controlling, wouldn't allow her to have friends or talk to her oldest daughter or parents on the telephone. She told the cops that she saw the tree and, you know, that's how it worked there. So, anyway, it's everyone's shocked by this in the whole town, yeah. Obviously. This is fucking crazy. They arrest her for murder at first. By the way, here's some tidbits from Kevin's blog about Christina, okay? I don't know if any of this is true. Obviously, this is one person saying, you know, who knows? But it's worth saying because it's crazy. From his blog, quote, Chrissy kept the house in deplorable condition. This depressed her daughter to the point of apathy, and she gave up on trying to clean up after her mother and manage a house in between trying to manage a teenage social life, school, church activities, homework, and her many creative projects. Chrissy let it get to the point where there was dog shit all over the floor, like 6 to 12 piles at any given time. Dirty laundry covered the bathroom floor, food was rotting in the fridge and all over the counters, and the girls were constantly getting stomach bugs, which were really cases of food poisoning, about twice a month. Chrissy has never really worked and is a self-proclaimed, quote, lazy bitch. And only cleans her house in preparation for one of her internet sex buddies to come over. One of whom was having sex with her one day in the living room. Her daughter stayed home from school that day and came downstairs and got an eyeful. Gross. They casually said hello to her and laughed it off.
Who's going over to fuck a woman with dog shit all over the floor?
Men with hard dicks. It happens.
God.
Chrissy is always broke because by my estimates, from her bank records and my knowledge of her expenses, she is spending $700 to $800 per month on pills, weed, cigarettes, and an exercise machine. Okay. The power and or internet is always getting shut off. She hasn't paid for gas for the stove since running out months ago. In October 2010, we came back from our trip to Connecticut and Rhode Island to no heat, no electric, no water. The girls had to stay with Chrissy's mother that night. Mary Ann, Chrissy's mother, was aware of these circumstances to a great degree. She didn't step in. She didn't help out. I asked Chrissy why she didn't ask her mother to pool their resources and live together and take care of the girls. Chrissy told me that would be impossible. I understand that Marilyn has struggled with mental illness. That's her mom. She is a sweet lady as far as I can tell, and Chrissy is definitely a bully who doesn't tolerate criticism even when it's due. However, Marilyn failed to get help for her granddaughters by at least reporting to your agency the neglect these girls were suffering. Chrissy told Marilyn that she confessed to murdering Charlie and would be making me a guardian when she had to face the charges. Marilyn was okay with that from what Chrissy told me. Okay, Cupid guy is going to be the guardian. Marilyn and her friend Jan indicated to me that they were very happy that I had stepped in to take care of the girls until the courts would decide where they should be placed. I initially expected the guardian to be guardian temporarily until I started to find out that none of the blood relatives seemed well suited to take care of them properly. Chrissy and the girls told me this, however, I didn't completely believe it until I saw for myself. Marilyn, Chrissy, or anyone else who may have known bothered to tell the girls that Chrissy was taking responsibility for the killing killing their father intentionally. They left that task in my lap. I was the one who had to break the news to the girls so they wouldn't have to hear it from their friends after it had been on TV. Paul sends $60 per month allowance to his granddaughters and seems to have a good relationship with the girls. However, the one girl said that although she loves him, I am the most responsible adult in her life right now. Like Paul, I'm not a rich guy, but I spent about $200 a month traveling to Newport about twice a month for almost a year, buying food, paying for certain things like the daughter's yearbook, Halloween costumes, etc. I spent many hours cleaning that sty as best I could. When Chrissy went into custody, I spent an entire week on about 7 hours sleep moving them into an apartment on South Street because the girls had just been hit with the news. I couldn't make them work alongside me moving. I let them spend time with their friends or play on the computer while I worked hard. Paul, Marilyn, and Brandy did nothing to help with that. I scrubbed and disinfected all the furniture and set it all up in the apartment on South Street. Paul took the key from me when he came with the Hinesburg police to take the girls out of my custody. Now he's staying in the apartment. Okay. When I suggested to Paul that he come and stay in Vermont and we get a place together, pooling our resources to take care of the girls and setting up a child-safe two-adult system, like the training I've completed recommends, with the grandmother close by making it that much easier, he acted like he liked the idea. Then the next thing you know, ... I caught Paul collaborating with two of Chrissy's drug dealers who were threatening me. I'll post threatening correspondence later. I told the daughter via text, I just found out your papa is in cahoots with one of your mother's, with two of your mother's drug dealers. She responded, I've known that since I was 11. Okay.
In cahoots.
In cahoots. In court, by the way, is the first time at her arraignment when Chrissy finds out that Kevin is the one who is the informant. She didn't know that before. She freaks out, has a bit of a meltdown. The judge will not let her enter a plea because she's acting so wacky. He says, I'm going to hold her without bail, and she's remanded for evaluation at the state hospital for competency.
Holy.
Yeah, they want to see if she's sane, basically, because she had a lot of shit going on in her brain. I don't know how sane she is here, so... her lawyer said, quote, I think the state had developed some doubt about how credible Kevin would be in front of a jury. That's because Kevin was, I don't know if it was after he turned her in or what, but he was caught at the border with a gun and drugs, they said. So, yeah, Mr. fucking Christian there. So, apparently that's what's on a news thing here. I don't know how true that is or whatever. So, her lawyer was trying to get the tape statements thrown out. So at that point, they said it's kind of a risk to go for first-degree murder, so they offer her a plea deal, and she takes it.
Really?
Yep. 20-minute hearing. She doesn't say shit. Judge says, you want to say anything? She shakes her head. She pleads guilty to manslaughter, and that's what she gets. They tell her, you, ma'am, may fuck off 7 to 15 years in prison.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no...
So light.
She never proved any claims of abuse or anything like that. The kids, I guess, didn't back it up in court. We don't know. Kevin here, he says he doesn't see any reason to swear off online dating altogether. Sure, one of the chicks I met was a murderer, but, you know, he still has an active OkCupid profile as of a while later.
Of course he does.
Hopeful about meeting someone. Yeah, he says he's not letting one scary situation get in the way of his pursuit of love. That's what he says.
One scary lazy bitch.
They asked him if he's been, you know, he said, which one of your relationships was Chrissy the worst all-time dating experience? And he said, top three. So there you
go. Maybe worse than that.
He has ex-wives, so maybe those were worse for him. So either way, he also talks about a little bit later on. He talks about he gets into all this detail about trying to make sure the two girls could keep their dogs. They had two small dogs and two cats, and trying to make sure they remain with the dogs and all the. He has like paragraphs about dogs and shit like that, and about the kids too, and it's. Very interesting. Here he also said this: I smoke weed occasionally, and did so with Chrissy, so as not to blow my cover while getting evidence for the state police. Now he's an informant. It also enabled me to find out who she was getting it from and what kind of people were around the girls. I've gone years at a time without touching the stuff and would gladly set it aside again if it disqualified me from being their guardian. I seldom drink alcohol and never have had more than two drinks at a time. I've only been drunk twice in the last 22 years. Chrissy tried to keep her pill use secret from me. Blah, blah, blah. He goes on and on and fucking on and on and on. There's a lot here. I mean, it's, wow. She really goes on a lot. Either way, she gets out of jail sometime. Her minimum would have been up in 2018. That would have been her seven. So at this point here, 2020, she's thrown back in jail again.
Is that right?
She is sentenced to 16 to 18 months for domestic assault on her boyfriend.
Wow.
Yep, she's got that. We don't have his name because he's a domestic assault victim, so they don't put it in the paper. But he's, she apparently assaulted him and threatened to kill him, and the police had to come remove her from the home, and now she's put in jail for 16 months.
You can't, as a convicted murderer, tell people I'm going to murder you.
Especially, your boyfriend after you killed your husband. So, now what I did find here, though, because she's got to be out by now, on LinkedIn, there is a Christine Billis from the greater Burlington, Vermont area that does pastel portraits of people, animals, and places. I don't know if she does art, too, but I thought maybe with the production stuff, if it's the same woman. If not, I feel bad for Christine Billis, because everyone thinks she's a murderer. So either way, That is Brownington, Vermont, and one shit hell of a crazy fucking story, if I've ever heard one before. Wow, that's crazy.
I want to meet the two chicks that he dated that were worse than her.
I want to know.
Did they show up with buckets of wriggling dicks?
What are those stories? Just the head of their ex-boyfriend's, you know, holding it up by the hair? I shrunk this. I don't know what. Either
Sat
way.
It down next to the fucking potato skins?
No shit. Either way, do that. ShutUpAndGiveMeMurder.com is where you get tickets for live shows. San Francisco, Milwaukee. Get them all out there. Florida after that. Get your tickets now to all of that. Patreon.com/crimeandsports. This week, John Rocker and the crazy Skidmore, Missouri case of everybody watching a guy get murdered and not saying shit about it. It's wild stuff. Yeah. Join us every damn week. Keep hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye, Kevin.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Small Town Murder early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I understand that anybody who's paid attention to the media would have to come to the conclusion that I killed my wife.
Hi, my name is Zach Stewart Pontier. I'm one of the filmmakers behind The Jinx, and I'm excited to bring you the official Jinx podcast. We'll be revisiting all 6 episodes of Part 1 and watching along with Part 2 as it airs on Max, starting April 21st.
Bye-bye.
The official Jinx podcast. Listen on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.